Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith Scott. You could all be with us. It's been a little gloomy outside this morning, but inside, shining with the brightness of the sun. And it's great to have you all with us today. Just a couple of things. As we begin this morning, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a dedication for our Shoes for the Souls. Now, just so you'll know, we will be collecting them for another week here, but at our Saturday night worship this coming week, we've got a group. They're going to be collecting all the shoes after worship. They're going to be sorting them through, putting them into bags and stuff, and basically removing them here from the sanctuary and actually getting them into place, staging them so that they can get to those schools Monday morning. So you can still bring shoes through the week. But in order for us to have a proper dedication, we're going to have to do that now. So let's take a moment with that now. I want to begin with these words from the 111th Psalm. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, the congregation, for great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He causes his wondrous works to be remembered. For the Lord is gracious and merciful, providing for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He shows his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. So let his praise endure forever. So, beloved in the Lord, our Lord, in his great love for us, the eternal God, has taken on human flesh and has joined himself to his own creation. Heaven and earth are now filled with his glory as he uses the things of this world to bring his blessing. He has made everything beautiful in its time so that we may behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in his holy temple, and be able to share the goodness of the Lord God with all of the people that are part of his precious family. And so as we look to our Lord, as our help is in the name of the Lord, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son is the express image of your glory, so that when we behold him, we contemplate your unending mercy. Indeed, how good are the feet of those who bring good news. So we ask that you would bless and sanctify these shoes, which are being offered in honor of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that these may reflect our love for you and for your people, that they would benefit the people who are part of your family and bring joy to those who use them. May we always be strengthened in the true faith and use this as an opportunity to respond with our worship to you with steadfast hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so then we offer these shoes on behalf of God's people and to the schools that we're going to be sending them to in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, a couple of things as we go into starting next week. I know that some of you already do, and thank you for this. But as a part of our month-long stewardship focus that starts next week, we're going to be asking everybody to wear their name tags. And if you don't have a name tag anymore, your permanent one, whatever happened to it, notify the office so that we can get some new ones made. And if you do happen to forget it, leave it at home or whatever. We will have some extras with us. I know it's kind of a gimmick, but it does help us so that we remind ourselves to greet each other by name here. So throughout the month of February, we're going to be wearing name tags and also adding a special stewardship focus. This is as good a time as any. If you have not yet given me your email address so that we can send also to you the church emails, because they're going to be there's going to be some stewardship stuff with each one of those church emails in the month of February. So it'd be a great time. Just write it on a card or something like that. Hand it to me as you leave worship if you are not yet receiving those. We'll make sure that we get you added to the list. It's pretty simple to get you added. And hopefully we might even be able to send you the most recent one that we prepared just a couple of days ago. Regarding our Saturday night worship that we were talking about just a moment ago, a week from this coming Saturday, that would be actually 2 weeks from last night, Once in a while, the Saturday night worship actually goes out for supper as a group. And they're going to be going just down 19 here, just a short distance to the other side of Main Street, to the place, I think it's called the Country Pizza and Italian Grill or something like that. But that's where we're going to be going for supper that night. Any of you are welcome to come and join us at some point. It wouldn't be the worst idea to let me know if you're going to be joining us, but that's, again, 2 weeks from last night as we join ourselves for that. Don't forget also our Crosswalks worship that continues now for the next month on Wednesday evenings until the Lenten season starts back in our conference room. So we've got a lot of things going on in the month of February with ladies' guilds and stuff. Most of it is listed in the February calendar, which you can take a copy of as you leave this afternoon. Our order of service is based on Divine Service Setting 4 from our Lutheran Service Book. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's readings from the Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Old Testament lesson from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, to all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense, so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians. St. Paul writes, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And as we gather together in the joy of our Lord, in his house, in our worship home, may his grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Amen. You know, this is a curious time of the year to ask a question like, what or where do you consider home? Because I know we've got more than a few of our part-year people that are down here. And I have a hunch that, well, okay, for the moment, you've got a place that you go home to every night, that almost none of you, at least for now, would call this home. But even those of you who are down here the whole time, very few of you, I mean, some of the children certainly have now been born down here in Florida and are native Floridians, but how many of you are prepared to call where you are here in Florida as truly home? You know, home is a lot of things, but it's a lot more than just a place where you've got a bunch of familiarity. You know where the pots and pans are, the silverware, where in the different closets where things are located. And by the way, isn't that one of the really fun things about having to move? Even if you just move three doors down to a different house, all of a sudden you don't know where anything is. And that goes on for 2 and 3 years after you move to a different place. We only found just some of the stuff that we moved down with just a few weeks ago as we were cleaning out our garage. But home is supposed to have other advantages as well. It is a place of comfort. It is a place of security. It is a place where you feel absolutely in your element. And you're comfortable enough that you're willing to share that with others. You know, hospitality when you're hosting and hospitality when you're being hosted are two very different things. And you probably have come to sense that. My message is entitled Home Field Disadvantage because, you know, somehow you learn that being a home, and here we're talking clearly about sports teams where it does seem like, and it makes sense, that they're going to play much better in the place where they always practice, in the place where they spend fully half of their games, in the place where every square inch they have been over and over again. But a sports home and a house used for a home are not our only homes, are they? And I'd like to think that whether you're a member, whether you're one of our part-year people that are down here, or whether you're a guest that's with us for the first time, my hope is that at least for the time that we're gathered here this morning, you feel, in a worship sense, that you are home. And again, it doesn't have to be. It's just something that you've been doing this for years and years and years. This just needs to be something where you understand that, first of all, we've gathered to hear and listen and receive the greatest gifts we could ever receive from our Lord and Savior. And we know just how generously he dispenses those gifts to us. But we're also amongst a worship family. You know, one of the things that helps make a home feel really like it's home is to be amongst family. And friends, you have bonded as a family. We have gathered together to make ourselves our own unique family that have come to receive from Christ what it is that he gives. But as we heard in our gospel lesson for this morning, it doesn't seem like things always go as well. Which is why my message is called Home Field Disadvantage, because, well, Jesus is going back to the place where he grew up and to the synagogue. Now, there probably, in a community like Nazareth, there probably was more than one synagogue. But he undoubtedly went back to the one that he had spent so much time in. I mean, they knew Joseph. They also seemed to know the things that he had been doing beyond the area of Nazareth. They'd been hearing a lot about him. They were anxious. Oh, that special person who is our very own is now going to be coming into our midst. What's going to happen now? Well, make no mistake about one thing. No matter where our Lord goes, no matter how our Lord is received, no matter how many people are there to truly welcome him, he always has the same purpose. And while some of the people may have thought they knew what he was there to do, ultimately his purpose is to prepare himself and realistically his people for going to the cross. And to ask those that would be members of his family to take up their crosses and follow him. And we have to ask ourselves, are we always prepared? Have we prepared ourselves in a place that in the moment of an instant, our earthly home would somehow be taken from us for whatever reason? Are we prepared so that we still have a place we can call home? In the midst of what Christ offers us, are we ready to gather through good times and bad, through our times of sin, through our times where it seems like we could care less if we received the gifts of God or not, through our times where in the midst of busy lives, all of a sudden it seems like a couple of the members of the family have just plain disappeared. Are we ready to once again either be that family or to welcome that family? The people clearly in Jesus' synagogue were not ready to understand what was going to happen. I mean, all they kept seeing was this same person. I grew up, and I think I've told this story before, having two home churches. One that I grew up in and went to Lutheran school in, and then the other one that just a year before I ended up being confirmed, I moved to. And that ended up being the church that, you know, my name is amongst the confirmands, and they helped support me through my years of college and seminary. But this other church always remained home. That's where I grew up. And one time, a little better than 20 years ago, I was invited to preach at a confirmation reunion, and they had actually had only about 2 weeks before that celebration did they start looking through all of the confirmation pictures and realize that I wasn't on that picture. It didn't matter. The day went just fine. But as I was greeting people coming out, I can't tell you how many times people would look at me and smile and say, I remember you when you were... You probably know the feeling, don't you? Even though when I was young, I shot up height-wise really fast. I was almost this height by the time I was in sixth grade. Still, people would always talk about you when you were like this. And while some of them were, you know, were smiling and were genuinely grateful for the word of God that they had received that day, you could tell there were some. And look, I wasn't the town troublemaker or anything else like that. Just the time I was there, I was just I guess what you would consider a typically precocious young boy. But sometimes it seems like that was all that they would ever remember me by. When I went to seminary, in the midst of learning tons of things about theology, tons of things about the Bible, they would also give us classes about a lot of practical information that you will need. And one of the things that one of my professors said is never, ever take a call to your home church. Let someone else serve that. And then he proceeded to give a couple stories that talked about what happened and why. And look, we're not here to discuss what happens as we go back to that which we hadn't been in years. We're talking about a Savior that once again was rejected, even amongst his own people. Well, we live in a world today where it seems like a lot of people who do not feel at home in a church, people who do not feel at home having Christ in their lives, some people of whom never even really have a home that is their own for very long. And what it teaches us is that everything we have for a home, no matter what kind of home, everything we have, it's temporary, is only here for a while. No matter how many years you live in that one house. Remember my grandparents who lived all of my, the life from the time I was born, who lived on a farm, and then at some point they retired. And they ended up living in the same retirement home for 26 years after they retired. There are people that, while they've been a part of the same worship home for years and years, there are others that are parts of cities where they've got 8, 9, and 10 churches, and at one point they've been a member of every single one of them. But all of that is temporary. Because you see, there's only one home ultimately that matters. And that is our heavenly home. When I was a senior in college, I was a resident assistant on behalf of all the students on my floor. It was always interesting. The room that was right across from me, the students that I would get in it, the first year that I was there, the students that were right across from me, one ended up becoming, I had never met him before, but he ended up becoming and remaining one of my best friends. The other one married my sister. Well, then when I became a senior, there were two more freshman students in that room. One of them seemed to be adapting rather well and rather quickly to college life, but the other one, you could just tell. He was struggling a little bit. Even though home really wasn't that far away, I mean, home by this time was hundreds of miles away for me, but he was struggling. And so one day I, just as I tended to do with students that were having such difficulties, I'd take them out for a milkshake and then I'd let them talk or let them not talk, whatever the case might be. And when we got back, after we were done, he came up to me and he said, I've been wanting to ask you this. What can I put on the door of my room? And I'm like, what you mean on your side or out? No, outside. And I'm like, well, why don't you show it to me? And while I let that sink in for a minute, what do you suppose he's going to bring me? I don't think you were prepared for this, and I certainly wasn't. He brings me a copy out of the hymnal of a hymn. We know it by one of two titles. Either Heaven is My Home, or the first line of that hymn, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. And I'm like, well, of course you can put that on your door. And I found myself often, even though, as I said, I pretty much know that hymn by heart, going over and just staring at those words, reminding myself that in a place where none of us were at a place that we were ever going to call home for very long, no matter where we ended up the rest of our lives, it was all only temporary. And one time I must have done, I don't know, maybe a little too good. I put my hand on the door or something like that, and I was just staring, looking at the hymn. Next thing I know, he opens up the door, and we're just about nose to nose looking at each other. But he understood that even in the midst of going through the difficulties of trying to figure out what home was going to be for him, where his home really was. And after that, he became a part of the drama department there at the college. That was my last year there, so I only got to see the one play. But it was a play that to this day, I don't think I've ever laughed harder. And he was one of the great centerpieces of that. Friends, all of us are going to go through times where we're going to wonder where our real home is. But as we gather here, in the home of our Lord and in your home, to come to the place where God's glory dwells, a place that may have to serve us for years and years and years more, but still is only temporary. Let's prepare ourselves that when we always come, that not only at home we will feel home with the message that truly gives us that home field advantage, but preparing ourselves for a home that is no longer temporary, a home that will be ours, won by Jesus Christ on the cross, a home that will truly and forever be home. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Please note the special prayer response at the end of each prayer that you'll be responding to as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, as we gather in your house, as we gather in what is for us a spiritual home amongst your spiritual family, we remember what you have given to each of us, how you are gracious and merciful, full of constant love, good to all, kindness showered upon all that you have made. So we thank you for the love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Grant us who have found joy in the power of forgiveness, that for Christ's sake we have been cleansed from all wrongdoings and are able now to bring forth much fruit to the glory of your name. Let us pray to the Lord. Save and defend your church as it has been gathered to us, that we may share amongst all of your precious people the blessings that come to us in such abundance. Uphold us by the blessed hope of everlasting life. Give each to us joy in the things that we do. Guard and keep us in times, good times and in bad. And remind us always that our time is blessed as we spend it with you. You who have given us your holy and precious word. You who left your home that we might have a home forever. Let us pray to the Lord. Be with us, dear Father, in all that we do. In our daily work, strengthen and direct us. In our leisure, protect us. In our homes, shelter and uplift us. In our travels, guide and protect us. In our problems, teach and strengthen us. In our afflictions, shield and watch over us. In our sorrows, comfort and help us to be closer to you. And in our prayers, always hear us. In our worship in your house, Lord, may we lift up our spirits to you. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray on behalf of all of our homes, all of the places in which your glory dwells, and ask your blessing on all of the people of these homes. We ask your mercy, especially on those who are sick, who are facing or have just come through surgeries, procedures, times in which they have had to receive medications such as chemotherapy. Help all of us to know and rejoice in the grace and healing power of that you have shown to us. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is in need of the help and comfort that comes from you, that we name before you privately in our own hearts in a moment of silence. Let the word of Christ and all of its richness always live in our hearts as we all receive the joy of being in your house and receiving that which prepares us for an eternal home. Let us pray to the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have shown your mercy to us, given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you have revealed your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We stand as we pray together the closing prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, look upon us with mercy that we may receive the scriptures and, fixing our eyes on Jesus, see him as the fulfillment of all you have spoken. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Well, friends, thanks so much for being a part of our service today. And we do wish God's richest blessings also on all of those schools that are going to be receiving our Shoes for the Souls. You can still bring those to us yet most of this week. So go in peace and serve the Lord.